Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, a South Texas community partner for generations. Christus Spahn is proud to be a part of your life, caring for families and providing quality medical care to all. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, the Dr. and Mrs. Hugh A. Kennedy Foundation, and the Koch Foundation, supporting the Catholic Church and its ministries across South Texas.
Live from Corpus Christi, Texas, welcome to the Cathedral Sunday Mass, where the gospel is proclaimed and our spirit refreshed by the real presence of the living God. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
Good morning to all of you, and thank you for being with us this morning as we celebrate the second Sunday of Easter. Happy Easter to all of you, and with it, celebrating Divine Mercy Sunday. Praying that you are able to download our order of worship found at our webpage, cccathedral.com. And also, a reminder that if we reach the hour at KDF, we will continue. We will fade away for just a tad, and then we will come back on Facebook and YouTube and goccn.org. Let us celebrate this wonderful occasion of the resurrection, singing together as we begin our celebration.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Peace be with you. Today is Divine Mercy Sunday. It's a day that we reflect not only on forgiveness, but mercy. And the very heart of what mercy is that God shows to each one of us and that we are called to show to others. Let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask, Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. God of everlasting mercy, who in the very recurrence of the Paschal feast, kindle the faith of the people you have made your own, because we pray the grace you have bestowed, increase, we pray, the grace you have bestowed, that all may grasp and rightly understand in what font they have been washed, and by whose spirit they have been reborn, by whose blood they have been redeemed. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the communal life, to the breaking of the bread and to the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their property and possessions and divide them among all according to each one's need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple area and to breaking bread in their homes. They ate their meals with exultation and sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by the power of God are safeguarded through faith, to a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the final time. In this you rejoice, although now for a little while you may have to suffer through various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that is perishable, even though tested by fire, may prove to be for praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Although you have seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, yet believe in him, you rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins are retained are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Although now for a little while you may have to suffer through various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that is perishable, even though tested by fire, may prove to be for the praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, we continue to be tried by fire. We continue to suffer various trials. And as we gather through social media, through television, virtually, not in the cathedral, we realize that we are suffering this trial. I have written a letter for all the parishes this morning, and I want to just summarize what I wrote for you this morning a little bit. It will also be on our website. But I want to first of all express my solidarity with those of you who have to come Sunday after Sunday virtually to watch Mass as an observer, although your heart is here, and I know that. I know it is painful. When we read the account of the early church today in the Acts of the Apostles, they gathered to be together, to be a Christian community, the early church, to be together for several reasons. They came to share the Eucharist together, the breaking of the bread, central, focused for that community and for us. They came to hear the words of the scripture and the explanation given through the homilies, which, thank God, you are able to do through the media. They came to share their life together. They came to look at each other in the eye with a smile, and even at a certain point to be able to say, "Peace. Peace be with you." I sometimes wonder, when we return, will that sign of peace have a different emphasis and a different meaning in our liturgical life, not just a slap on the back or a kiss on the cheek from a family member, but truly as it is meant to be, peace be with you. We suffer the lack of those things now. But I do want to say to us that we are continuing and will continue to cooperate with the state, regional, and municipal governments, and with the advice of the medical professionals, to continue to distance ourselves. We are in a sacrificial mode, assisting our world, our local community, not to come together in large numbers in order to prevent the spread of this horrific virus. It is a sacrifice. And perhaps, as St. Peter said, that you're being trialed so that we can understand better the meaning of our faith. Perhaps we can understand the meaning of sacrifice. Sacrifice is the soul of love. It is the soul of our gathering. It is the soul of our Eucharistic life, sacrifice. In fact, Jesus said at the calling of the first apostles, "I desire sacrifice. I desire mercy and not just ritual sacrifice." And so we will continue to follow the guidelines that are given to us, as difficult as they may be. The governor had announced on Friday that he would open up certain portions of the Texas economy. He did not go so far as to say that he would change the numbers to be gathered in a community. I have started last week meeting, and I will meet regularly, with the deans of our diocese, which are the priests in the different areas. We are coming together on video conferencing to talk about your needs in the different areas of the diocese, and together as a body of priests to talk about how we can prepare for our return to the altar of the Lord physically. I know that many of you have shared prayer time and even built altars in your homes, and I want to thank you for that. This is a wonderful opportunity for you and for all of us to pray more, not less, and to perhaps rediscover the beauty of praying together as a family in the home. It will not substitute coming to the Eucharist together as a parish community, but it will certainly give it more meaning when we begin in our homes to pray. I want to also thank you for the support that you are giving to your parishes. I know some of you with great sacrifice, and some are not able to do that. And I certainly understand that, as your pastors do. But we are grateful that you have shown your allegiance to your parish in so many, many ways, even financially. And to the pastors and priests, I do want to thank each one of you for sacrificing your own ministry on a Sunday of being with your people and not being able to do that. It is a tremendous sacrifice for you, my brothers. But you are there in the parish community of your towns, your cities, as a sign of the church's presence. And so to each one of you, to all of you, please know that you are in my prayers, and I ask for your prayers as well. These are difficult times, but they are also times that we will grow in faith, hope, and charity. Today is Divine Mercy Sunday. I was recalling the call of the Apostle Matthew in the 9th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus calls a tax collector a sinner, and around him gathered others, and Jesus wanted to eat at their table. And of course, there were some in the community, the Pharisees, who began to complain. He eats with sinners. He actually gathers with sinners, with people who are not like us, the righteous. Is that for real? And Jesus said to them, go and learn what it means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Today we emphasize and we focus on the reality of mercy. We speak a lot about forgiveness, but mercy is the step beyond forgiveness. I can forgive someone, I can go to confession and ask forgiveness for offending someone, but I may be unwilling to show mercy. We are all very familiar with the beautiful account that Jesus gave in a parable of the prodigal son and the merciful father. The father who did not count the sins of the son, who did not judge the son, but opened his life, opened his home, opened his treasury to the son who had offended everything that was good in the father's relationship with him. He returned to a father who said, welcome home. That is mercy. And today we find the apostles gathered in a room after the resurrection, still a bit incredulous as to what was happening, still unsure of what the future would be. And one of them, Thomas, was not there. And those haunting words of Thomas in the gospel today, I will not believe until I can put my finger in the nail marks and my hand in his side. I will not believe. Many of us, if we heard that, would say, well, then don't believe. Move on your way. Get out of here. Get away from us. You're not worthy of us. But Jesus came into the room. He didn't reprimand Thomas at all. He said to all of them, peace be with you. That is mercy. That's beyond forgiveness. Many of us say, I will forgive, but I will not forget. I will hang on to the sins of others, to the offenses of others. That is not mercy. That is not being merciful. It is not excusing what is wrong, but it is welcoming the other to a conversion of life, to a fullness of life, not closing the door on anyone. And as we prepare ourselves during this time, perhaps God is giving us this time of trial to have us focus on the beauty of mercy. One of the Beatitudes is, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Jesus didn't say, blessed are those who forgive, because they will be forgiven, and that is true. But he used the word mercy. At the beginning of our liturgy, over and over, we said, Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins. Mercy. This is the meaning of the community that came together then and the meaning of our community today. We must be willing to reach beyond ourselves, beyond our pride, beyond our arrogance, beyond our self-righteousness, and show mercy. I wasn't going to say this, but on the way here, I happened to be on Channel 6 on Sirius Radio, the 60s, which is kind of my era. And there's a song that I had long forgotten about. It said, reach out into the darkness and you may find a friend. Reach out into the darkness with mercy And those you have shunned, those you have forgotten, those you have closed off in that darkness, you may discover a friend. What a time for us to do that. What an opportunity for us to reach out into the darkness of life and reach out through our own darkness and find a friend who is in need of those words of Jesus, "Peace be with you." I want to conclude with a few words from the homily today of Pope Francis at the Church of Divine Mercy of the Holy Spirit in Rome today. I would encourage you to go on the internet and read his entire homily. It is profoundly beautiful, quoting Saint Faustina. But he said something that I referred to myself last week on Easter Sunday. He said, quote, "Now while we are looking forward to a slow and arduous recovery from the pandemic, there is a danger that we will forget those who are left behind. A virus spread by the thought, the risk is that we will then be struck by an even worse virus, the virus of self-indifference. A virus spread by the thought that life is better if it is better for me, that it is everything will be fine as long as it is fine for me. It begins there and ends up selecting one person over another, discarding the poor and sacrificing those left behind at the altar of progress. That selfish indifference, that virus, is not mercy." And he concludes by saying to everyone, and to those of us who are listening today, to everyone, let us not think only of our own interests, our vested interest. Let us welcome this time of trial as an opportunity to prepare for our collective future, a future for all without discarding anyone. Because without an all-embracing vision, there will be no future for anyone. Brothers and sisters, in this time of trial, in this time of purification, let's take up those words of the Holy Father. Let's not just look at our own needs, our own pains, our own sufferings, our own discomforts, our own desire to be back here in this cathedral or in your parish church, our own desire to receive the beautiful sacrament of reconciliation. That will come. I assure you, one day that will come. But maybe we are separated from that right now to understand something very profound in our life, the true meaning of what Jesus said to those who objected to the calling of the sinner Matthew. It is mercy I desire, not sacrifice. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us men and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. My brothers and sisters, Christ is risen from the dead and has brought peace. Today he brought it to peace, peace to the apostles in the locked room. He showed them his pierced hands and side. Let us now come to him with these prayers.
For the church, that we may remain faithful to the teaching of the apostles, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who seek the peace of the risen Lord, that they may come to experience his loving embrace, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the divine mercy may bring peace to those areas in the world experiencing injustices, war, or famine, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That just as Christ showed his wounds to his disciples gathered in the upper room, we may not be afraid to show him our wounds so that we may experience his healing and peace. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the risen Lord may move our hearts to share our goods and possessions with those in need through generosity and Christian hospitality. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That God may bestow his grace on the people of the Corpus Christi Cathedral, Carla Monoroca, as she celebrates her birthday, and the marriage of Edward and Jamie Fernandez, we pray to the Lord. That the faithful departed will enter the sure hope and promise of their heavenly inheritance, especially the deceased members of the Hagelin family, Deborah Garza and Chance Pettis, we pray to the Lord. For all who are affected by the coronavirus through illness, isolation, or anxiety, that God may extend his healing hand upon them and give them peace, healing, and recovery, we pray to the Lord. For doctors, nurses, medical researchers, public health officials, and civic leaders, that they may be protected from all illness and restore many to health as they minister to the sick with compassion and in service to the common good, we pray to the Lord.
Almighty Father, God of abundant divine mercy, listen to these prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Sons and daughters.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
At your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good of all his holy church.
Accept, O Lord, we pray, the oblation of your people, that renewed by confession of your name and by baptism, they may attain unending happiness through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, at all times to acclaim you, O Lord, but on this day, above all, to laud you yet more gloriously, when Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. For he is the true Lamb who has taken away the sins of the world. By dying, he has destroyed our death, and by rising, restored our life. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exults in your praise, and even the heavenly powers with the angelic hosts sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and, once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, me, your unworthy servant, and all the clergy.
Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Children of God, in the Son, in his Son, Jesus Christ, we pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, pass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
my dear family at home. I lead you and join with you in offering a prayer for spiritual communion, that on this Divine Mercy Sunday, that communion may be yours and our Lord's in spirit. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you in my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there, and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Hello, I'm Father Peter Lisadro, Rector of the Corpus Christi Cathedral. And on behalf of Bishop Mulvey and the Cathedral family, we want to thank you for joining us for the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. May God continue to bless you and all of your loved ones with his love, peace, and joy. And may you always know how we carry you always in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you and keep you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, a part of your life, providing advanced quality care and vital services close to home and dedicated to keeping South Texas healthy and strong. More information is available at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast. If you have been blessed by our efforts and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.